Well, please turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians, and I'd like to read from verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5, right through to chapter 6, verse 9. So please follow with me as I read from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through to chapter 6, verse 9. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as man pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. May God be pleased to bless the reading of Holy Scripture. Please join with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you please to meet with us as we gather in your presence this morning. Please speak to us through the preaching of your word. We thank you for the inerrancy and the sufficiency of the scriptures that are ours. And we pray that in spite of the flaws and the weaknesses of your servant, that you would speak clearly, that you would, as it were, strike straight with this crooked stick. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of hearing the word. Wash us with your word. Make us more like yourself, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my first message is, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And I just want to say that what I'll do is I'll be looking at verses 1 to 3 this morning. And then after lunch, Lord willing, I'll be looking at verse 4. Parents, do not provoke your children to wrath. So we'll look at verse 1 to 3 this morning, and then we'll look at verse 4 later on. Now, many of you are aware of the science experiment of placing the proverbial frog in a pot of cool water, and slowly, by degree, that water gets heated up until eventually what happens is the frog gets boiled to death. The frog doesn't even realize that it's in danger. And little bit by little bit, the frog eventually gets boiled to death. We're all aware of that analogy. Well, I want to begin with that analogy because I really think that that is a fitting analogy of what has happened to the family, as it were, in our secular and materialistic society in which we live in. And that has even happened with many Christian families. So it doesn't just happen with families in general, it's happening with Christian families. When we think of the culture that we're living in, we've often heard of the culture wars. And we've really seen how the church has lost the battle in the culture wars. We think of how values in society have changed. And there's been such a drifting and a gradual breaking down and crumbling of the biblical or godly values that may come from a Judeo-Christian worldview. And basically what happens is that that's happened over decades. And as we think of that, the standards have been lowered. And the dangers that we have placed our families in as we've gone through these stages in society, we haven't even realized how dangerous, how deadly the influences of our culture and our society have been. Moral and spiritual standards have gradually eroded until countless families have literally been destroyed. Think about some of the things that have come in, that have consumed time and have disrupted relationships. TV, for one thing, has become the center focus in the family. Prior to that, it was the dinner table, where families would at least talk and communicate with one another. Family worship is something that is so alien, even to many Christians. And it really is such a picture of how society has just become so godless and so secular. You know, friends, when the divorce rate among Christians is almost as high as in the rest of society, it is clear that many believers should have left that pan long ago. Many believers should have seen the signs already. But so many Christians have been dumbed down. So many Christians have been moved away from the Scriptures. So many Christians have substituted the Scriptures with tradition and entertainment and a feel-good type of philosophy. How often has it not been that you go to a church and you'll never hear anything about sin in that church? Really, the point of the pastor is to make you feel good about yourself. He's there really as a motivational speaker. Life is hard, you'll hear. Life is hard. And we don't need to talk about sin. And we don't need to talk about these terrible things in society. And we don't need to consider all of these cultural challenges that we want to be in our little insular bubble, and we just want to be coddled. And that really is the tendency. That is the desire of so many so-called Christians. Beloved, it is high time that Christian families realize what's happening to them. And the only way they can realize what's happening to them is if they go back to the Bible, is if they go back to the Scriptures, and they examine the Scriptures, and they examine what's happening in their lives and in their culture in the light of the Scriptures. We are not living in a Christian society. You need to, we may be living in the South, or we may be living in the Bible Belt, but beloved, it's just a veneer. And it's paper thin, and it has no impact or effect on the cultural battles that we are facing. And one of the key reasons why we're crumbling and collapsing is because families, Christian families, are being destroyed because Satan is in the camp, and we've swallowed the psychology and the nonsense of the world, and we've moved away from the Scriptures. Let me tell you what Scripture says. This is what Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 7 says about the importance of passing on the truth. We've just read out of Judges and seen what happened to a whole group of people who were under the headship of God, who were God's called out people. And when they abandoned the Scriptures and they abandoned their commitment to serve God, chaos reigned. But this is what Scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 7, speaking about our responsibility as parents to our children. You shall teach them diligently, speaking of the law, speaking of the commands. You shall teach them diligently to your children, diligently. And talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. I want to tell you, beloved, it is always a concern for me that when I spend time with Christians, they can say very little about Christ, and very little about the Bible, and very little about theology, but they speak a whole lot. They can tell you what the stats were in the latest games that were just played, college football. Oh, they can talk about that for 20-30 minutes, no problem. And they could talk about the various hunting aspects, or the seasons, or the various tackle that they're using to catch fish. And they don't want to talk about the things of God. They can't speak about Christ. They can't speak about the truth. And you know that they're not passing it on to their children. I want to tell you that these words in Deuteronomy are so important. Parents were to continually speak about the things of God. This is what it means to be God's people. So that the knowledge and the love of Him would become a matter of life and breath for the family. So that we would breathe the air of God's kingdom. So we would understand of His love and His covenants and His truth to us. And when the parents were not speaking, the testimony would continue. Even if the parents couldn't continue to, maybe they died, the testimony of their faith would continue. Chapter 6 verse 9, maybe they had gone away or they couldn't communicate for some reason. Chapter 6 verse 9 in Deuteronomy says, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes when the children come out of the hope. Keep these things before you. Bind them on your hand. Bind them on the frontlets between your eyes." In other words, there was always to be both verbal and visible commitment to the Word of God in the home. It is God's plan for His Word to be passed on from one generation to the next. And beloved, the primary agent of Him doing that is through the Christian family. The Christian family is the building block of society. And parents who don't fully and tirelessly commit themselves to the godly teaching and training of their children should not be surprised when they find their children so embroiled and enmeshed in the ungodly and immoral philosophies and practices of this world. I don't know if you've seen lately, but the statistics of millennials and young people who are now accepting homosexuality as a natural and a normal thing is ridiculous. It's like 40-50%, maybe even more. Many of these people come from so-called Christian homes. And what they do is they send their kids off to college, and because they haven't grounded and taught their kids in the Word of God within a short space, 80% of those professing Christianity actually abandon their Christian faith. So I want to say, friends, to you that this passage that I have to say to you is so valuable that I could preach many sermons on it, many sermons on it. Unfortunately, I just have a short amount of time, and so I'm going to try and hit the main things. But I want to say that in God's Word, parents have every truth and every guideline necessary for raising their children in righteousness and godliness. And we have everything we need to convey and to communicate to our children how they ought to live their lives in this world, how they ought to relate to the world in which they're living. We have a short window. We have a short window. And the sad thing is, we think that we can cede our responsibility to the church. We can trust youth groups and Sunday schools to give them what they need spiritually. And we take a hands-off approach as parents. And I'm speaking generally. I know many of us don't do that. But it is our responsibility as parents. And God will hold us to account for passing on the faith to our children. And God has given us everything we need. You know, the Bible was completed 2,000 plus years ago. But the problems have not changed. The Word of God stands. Heaven and earth will pass away, and the grass of the field will wither, and the flowers will fade, but the Word of God stands and lasts forever. It is unchanging. It is just as relevant as it was 2,000 years ago today. And so I want to say to you, there is no human discovery. There is no philosophy. There's no psychology that can help us better raise our children. The Scriptures are the basis and the foundation on which we are to raise our children. This is the solid rock on which we are to build our house. All other ground is sinking sand. And so I want to come to this third category of authority. We've looked at wives submitting to their husbands. We've looked at husbands loving their wives. And now we come to children. Actually, it's the second category. The third category will be workers and servants. So this is the second category. And what Paul is teaching us here is he's showing us how important it is for children to submit to their parents, and then also for parents not to provoke their children to wrath. So let's consider the passage. And there are a number of headings I have here. The obedience of children. The honor of children. Then we're going to look at some overview from Proverbs and the life of Christ. And then that it will go well with you and you'll live long in the land. So let's consider the word in verse 1 here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now this word children is an interesting word. It is the word, the Greek word, tekna. And let me say to you, when you read that, I wonder if you think little children. Well, tekna does not refer particularly to young children, but to all offspring. Sons and daughters still under their parents' roof are to obey and honor their parents. Obey is a word that has to do with action. Honor is a word that specifically has to do with attitude. But here's the point. It's not as though kids get to this point where they don't have to any longer do this. No. As long as they're living under their parents' roof, they are to obey their parents. Now, as long as they live, they are to honor their parents. But as long as they're under their parents' authority, they are to obey them. And so when men and women leave their parents and their homes to marry, then they may no longer be under the authority of their parents. They go from one set of authority, they go from their parents' authority, a woman will go to a husband's authority. But they're no longer under authority in that case. Nevertheless, they are still to respect and honor their parents as long as they live. But let me say this, friends. That I would say that so many of the ills in our society today can be traced back to a complete rejection of this. The child who is brought up to obey and honor his parents will always be sensitive to their wisdom, their counsel, and welfare. But a child who rejects his parents' authority ultimately is rejecting God's authority and will reject everyone else's authority. Now this word obey literally means to hear under. That is to listen with attentiveness and respond positively to what he's heard. Simply speaking, children are to put themselves under the word's authority and under the authority of their parents. Children, obey your parents. Notice the next phrase. In the Lord. In the Lord. What does this refer to? It refers to the sphere of pleasing the Lord. In other words, it is to obey parents for the Lord's sake. Quite simply put, children, obey your parents is reflective of your obedience to the Lord. It's reflective of your obedience to the Lord. And the context makes it clear that in the Lord applies to honor as well as obey. Parents are to be obeyed and honored because to do so is to obey and honor the Lord. You know what this means, friends? It means simply this. Parents stand, as it were, in the gap, so to speak, between children and God, while the children are too young to have a full and mature relationship with God themselves. Parents really are the custodians, God's stewards. They are His proxy authority. For their children are simply loaned to them in trust by their own Heavenly Father. Your children don't belong to you. They belong to God. They are given to you, loaned to you, as a blessing to you, but ultimately their souls belong to God. And that is why children are commanded. Colossians puts it this way, children, obey your parents in all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. We were created to glorify God, friends. We were created to worship God. And here we see that children are called to worship God by obeying their parents. But again, let me also say this is in the Lord. There is only one exception to this, and that is when parents are willfully sinning, disobeying God, and causing children themselves to disobey God and sin against God. Every believer should refuse to do anything that is clearly against God's will as taught in the Scripture. Every believer should say with Peter and John, as they said in Acts 4, verse 19 to 20, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so let me say, beloved, the basic reason for children to obey and honor their parents is because it is right. It is the right thing to do. Look at the text again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. I would submit to you, friends, that children who have not learned to obey their parents, when they go out into this world, they don't know what right and wrong is. They're confused. And more often than not, in fact, most of the time, they end up making ruin and wreckage of their lives and the lives of many other people besides. But this rightness is not based on psychological case studies. This is not because society has determined it. This is right because it's based on God's standard. It's based on God's immovable word, God's law, God's immutable, unchanging truth. God's declaration makes it right. Right refers to that which is correct, that which is just, that which is righteous, that which is what it should exactly be. David wrote this in Psalm 19, verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And in Psalm 119, in two places, and there are many other places, but I'll just give you two. 75, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right. And then verse 128 of Psalm 119. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Obedience to parents is right. It is right. Hosea writes this, who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. And boys and girls and young men and women, let me say to you, obedience to your parents is right. Listen to them. Obey them. Submit to them. They care for you. They love you. They've been given by God. And this is what God has designed. So there's obedience to parents. But let me talk secondly about the honor of children. The right attitude behind the right act of obedience is honor. Reminds me of that little kid who said, when his parents wanted him to do something, and he said, you know what? His mom wanted him to sit down, and he was rebelling against her, and he wouldn't sit down. And eventually he sat down, and he said, well, I'm sitting down in my body, but in my heart I'm standing up. Well, that's not obedience. And that's not honor. The right attitude beyond the right act of obedience is honor, which means when we honor something, it's to value it highly, to hold it in the highest regard and respect. Let me say to you, friends, next to God's word, I think the wisdom of our parents should be highly valued. Next to God's word. Doesn't mean that they can't make mistakes, and they do. But I tell you, God will honor us when we honor them. In both verbs, noun forms, the word is often used as a term of reverence. This word honor. It's a word that speaks of preciousness. It's the same word used of regarding God, the Father in Christ, as precious. It's also a word used by the Father in reference to the Son. The Son honors me. I honor the Father. How are children to treat their father and mother? Well, here it says they are to honor both their father and mother, to hold them in the highest possible regard and respect. You may seemingly obey your parents, and then when they're out of the way or when they're no longer there, you speak to others and you trash them. That's not honoring them. That's not respecting them. That's not reverencing them. Let me tell you, beloved, when God gave His moral law to man in the form of the Ten Commandments, the first law He gave regarding human relationship was Exodus 20, verse 12. And it's this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving. How do you know that you love God? John tells us we can't say we love God, whom we haven't seen, when we do not love our brothers, right? And may I say this to you, children? No matter how much you say you love God, if you dishonor and disobey your parents, you do not love God. You do not love God. And let me say this is what Paul reiterates here. And it's the only commandment of the ten that relates to the family. Because that one principle obeyed, friends, is enough to secure the right relationship of children to parents. And this relationship is essential on so many levels. It ultimately reflects our relationship with God and how we obey and honor our parents. And as I said to you, it is also the key. The key relationship behind all right relationships in society. A person who grows up with a sense of respect for and obedience to his parents will have a foundation for respecting the authority of other leaders and the rights of other people in general. Listen to what Moses says here regarding how important it is to respect our parents. In Exodus 21 verse 15, he says this, "And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Moses says this, Deuteronomy 27 verse 16, "Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt." And all the people shall say, "Amen." Dear friends, let me say to you, God's word is not fuzzy about this. And I think so many parents think that God's word is fuzzy about this. God's word is not fuzzy. God's word is crystal clear. God's word is precise. And let me say that either to physically or verbally abuse or show any contempt for a parent brought nothing short than a curse upon that child and was punishable by death under the old covenant. And in the New Testament, we would think, okay, well, we're under the New Testament now, so it's not that serious. No ways. In the New Testament, God's law hasn't changed. And this is what the scripture says when Paul talks about God's judgment on mankind. One of the things that he tells us brings down the judgment of God is disobedience and dishonoring parents. Listen to Romans 1:29, chapter 1, verse 29 to 30. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. What a terrible thing to be said about any human being or any group of human beings. Then Paul goes on and he says, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. You cannot get away from it, friends. It is a damnable thing. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgments of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Paul, when writing to Timothy, and speaking of the perilous times in which Timothy was living in, wrote this, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." This is a serious thing, friends. And young children and young adults who are still living with your parents, I press this upon you. I encourage you to listen to this. Because God has spoken so clearly about this. that when children are disobedient to parents on a whole scale in our society like we're seeing, these are signs of God's judgment. They're signs that the foundations have been destroyed. They're signs that we're living in perilous times. It is commonplace to hear of children disobeying and disregarding and disrespecting and dishonoring their parents. In the US, at least 8 million serious assaults are made each year by children on their parents. In recent years, a number of children have been convicted of murdering or hiring the killing of their parents, usually for no other reason than resentment of parental control and discipline. Why are we surprised, friends, when children are incessantly told that they can do whatever they wish and that they can have their own way? No wonder they soon turn and mock their parents, their teachers, and discard their moral standards and reject the law and society in general. I think we've got a very clear case of that right before our very eyes today. Look at what's happening with Antifa. How many of these kids that are arrested in Antifa are kids that are from wealthy homes? White kids from wealthy homes who've been given a free ride, a free check to do what they want, who've gone to these universities, have had their heads and their minds poisoned, and then they go out and they cause mayhem and chaos. And when they're arrested, they fall on the ground and curl up in the fetal position and cry for their mommies and their daddies. We see the same thing with Black Lives Matter. So many of them. Young children, young people, young adults, no parental concern, no parental care. In fact, their parents bail them out and egg them on. Beloved, these words are so pertinent for us today. All human relationships obviously grow out of those of children with parents or the absence of parents. Look at the black community. No matter what they say to you about the black community, the thing that has decimated the black community is the absence of the father in the home. Let me say that children who respect and obey their parents will build a society that is ordered and harmonious and productive. I cannot tell you how important it is to obey and to honor and to reverence your parents and to think carefully and to consider them carefully. A generation of undisciplined, disobedient children produce a society that is chaotic and destructive. And here we are. Friends, no presidential election is going to fix that. We need the Spirit of God to revive the work of His hands. We need families to come back to the Word of God. Honor of parents encompasses providing for them when they can no longer provide for themselves. Think of the parents who've taken care of you, who've looked after you, who've cared for you, and have provided for you. How important is it for you, when they can't take care of themselves, for you to honor them and take care of them and help them? Sadly, there are so many children who grow up and end up abandoning their parents. You know, Jesus charged some of the Pharisees with something very serious. They reprimanded him for allowing his disciples to eat without first ceremonially washing their hands. They're all about the external stuff. But this is what Jesus said to them. He says, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your traditions? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' and then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." They had found a way. They had found a way where they didn't need to care for their parents. They had ascribe themselves to some greater, higher spiritual purpose. And Jesus calls them out and says, you are worthy of God's judgment. You who use the word of God to justify your wickedness. And here in this text, our Lord, I think, makes it crystal clear that when it comes to honoring our parents, it includes financial support when they need it. Let me talk with you a little bit about the witness of Proverbs and the childhood of Jesus. Children have to be trained to obey and honor their parents by their parents. The Sunday school is not going to do that for you, folks. I'm just going to tell you. Youth group's not going to do that for you. God has given you that responsibility. And if they're disobeying you, that's on you. That's not on the church. That's on you. But the book of Proverbs is full of truth that guides parents in this wonderful, important aspect of training their children, helping them, guiding them to obey their parents. In Proverbs 1 verse 8, we read these words, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Now again, I need to say and I understand, children, parents are not infallible. They're not infallible. But they hold God's authority over your life. And even when they make mistakes, it is still your responsibility to submit to them and to pray for them. They are God's given authority and source of training to you. And God uses broken and flawed instruments, even instruments that make mistakes, because they love you and because they're put over you by God. This is what Proverbs 3 verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Beloved, I want to tell you, I was never raised with godly parents. I came from a broken home. No one ever sat with me and opened the Bible and explained the way of salvation. My dad tried. Eventually, he got saved and he tried. But I praise God that He broke that cycle when He saved me. And He made me aware of my great responsibility as the father in my home to sit with my Bible and open my Bible and explain to my children the way of life. And I want to say to you, young people, you have no idea how blessed you are to have a father or a mother who will sit with you and talk to you about God and talk to you about the Word of God. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. The father taught his son what his father had taught him. And God plans for believers to pass on his instruction from one generation to the next. One thing you'll read about Abraham is that wherever Abraham went, he left an altar to the Lord. His children saw that. Children raised in Christian families are blessed with the fruit from spiritual trees planted many years earlier by parents and maybe grandparents. And let me say this, a word to grandparents. Even if your children have turned away from the Lord, do not give up on your grandchildren. Keep speaking the word of God into their lives. Friends, think of the blessing we have from the preaching and teaching and the fellowship of our local churches. Think of Christian fellowship. Think of the preaching of God's word. Think of the blessing of the sacrifice of believers who've gone before us. I want to say that a child can have no greater inheritance than the godly teaching and example of his parents. Proverbs chapter 7 verse 1 says, my son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablets of your heart. You know what the apple of the eye is, friends? The apple of the eye is the very front of the eye, the pupil. And it's very sensitive. if it's exposed to irritation, it can really be painful. And it's critical to our vision. And that's the first thing we protect instinctively. In the same way, the obedient child, the child who wants to please God, should cherish and protect the godly teaching of his parents more carefully than he protects his parents. Just as an obedient child brings happiness and tranquility to a family, a disobedient child brings the opposite. Listen to what the Proverbs say again. That a disobedient child brings grief to his mother. Proverbs 10:1. And unhappiness and destruction to his father. Proverbs 17:21. He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow. And a father of a fool has no joy. Beloved, my friend, will you be a father of a fool? Will I be the father of a fool of fools? I will if I'm not bringing God's word to bear upon the lives of my children. And I'm not protecting them from the foolish, idiotic things that are in this world. In Proverbs 19:13, we read this, a foolish son is the ruin of his father and a disgrace to both his parents. In chapter 19:26, we read this, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Sadly, such children use their parents shamelessly to their own selfish end. Proverbs 28:24 says, whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same is companion to a destroyer. Beloved, I realize that some of this that I'm saying to you may be a grief to you. For some of you maybe have experienced these very things. And I want to encourage you to keep praying for your children. To keep at every point trying to put Christ before them. Maybe you wasted time. Maybe you were unsaved and they saw your life and they just went off. And when you try to bring Christ, and they rejected you. Trust the Lord. He is good. Trust the Lord. Bring the word of God to put it before your child. But don't be presumptuous. Don't be presumptuous. Don't think it's going to be okay. If you don't take this seriously and your children will turn out well. Don't. If you have children under your care, you have a responsibility, parents. And let me tell you that when we think about what Paul is saying here in Ephesians, it's so important. Our wicked world talks about children's so-called rights, but the emphasis should be on their responsibilities. Emphasis on rights, whether by children or adults, weakens and destroys relationships at every level. It is the sense of responsibility that builds right relationships as well as right character. And it is a sense of responsibility to God. That's why I want to say, fathers, pray for your children to have tender hearts to God. To have tender hearts to God. That they can only see the love of God and they can only be tender to God if you are bringing God to bear upon their lives. If you are lovingly bringing the gospel and you are following Christ and you are submitting to Christ. You know, our Lord Jesus, when he was a young boy, we read this in Luke 2:52. He kept on increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And really, beloved, that is a text of which we should be praying for our children. Jesus grew intellectually. He grew in his thinking. He grew physically, he grew spiritually and socially. And God has given us the wonderful responsibility to be instruments in the hands of God, to see our children grow. We have the Word of God, but not only do we have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit. And it's a terrible thing, parents, if we will not feed our children with the Word of God, if we're sitting on a table and we're eating these delights and we're reading all this theology and we're learning in the things of God, but yet we take no time to take that food and break it down and feed our children. We are the ones who will reap the whirlwind if we are not doing that. Well, let me hurry on. I want you to notice the next thing it says, that it may be well with you and that you live long in the land. The command, honor your father and mother, is twofold. That it may be well with you, and that relates to the quality of life, and that it may, that you may live long in the land. That relates to quantity of life promised. Now, Paul is quoting directly from the law. And so the original promise was to Israel, and it involved many tangible, physical, earthly blessings. But Paul's reference to it here shows that it extends to believers today. It's just as relevant. It's just as applicable to us today. And let me say, beloved, though its blessings may not always be tangible, I want to say this. A family where children and parents live in Christian love, in mutual love and submission, will have rich, God-given harmony and satisfaction that other families can never know. Let me also say this by way of parenthesis. Maybe if you found that things have become so disruptive in your family and things have become chaotic, maybe that is God's way of showing you that you've taken your eyes off the Lord. And that you have stopped putting the priorities on the right things. And that you need to seek His face and pray. And bring your family back to the altar. Bring your family back to the Word of God. I know we all have busy schedules. I know so many of us kids have got all sorts of things doing. But beloved, there is nothing more important than the kingdom of God. And there are times when we have to cut back on those things. And say, God's word is to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And we need to protect that. And we need to protect that time with our children. Feeding them with the word of God. Praying with them. Nurturing. Spending time bringing the word of God to bear upon them. Let's think of this, the promise of living long on the earth. Well, the believer who honors his parents can know that his lifetime will be the full measure God intends. Rather than being cut short like Ananias and Sapphira and certain members of the Corinthian church. Let me say this to you, beloved. Not too long ago, I was a pastor in training in a church in South Africa in Pretoria. And I knew a family with a young man who rebelled against his parents. And ultimately that rebellion led to him stabbing his mother to death. It wasn't long after that he was released because he was juvenile and he was actually released. And his dad had to take care of him. But his rebellion affected his brother. And his brother ended up being rebellious. These were young men in their 20s, and on a motorcycle one day, they were driving down the road and a bus hit them and they were both killed. And this verse came to my mind. It will not go well with you if you do not honor and obey your parents, beloved. It will not go well with you. But you have every reason to believe that God will honor you and bless you and keep you and be merciful to you while you live on this earth. And let me say, if parents who are older and more experienced can't fulfill their responsibility without being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, let me also say this, how can children
be expected to fulfill their responsibilities without those spiritual requirements. Children, you want to know why you're struggling so much?
Because you need the Lord. You need Christ. You need the Holy Spirit. And so parents, when you discipline your children and they struggle, lead them to Christ. Show them that Christ is the one who will forgive them of their sin. Show them that their strength is found in Christ, that they have no strength in themselves. I want to say to you that the children Paul addresses here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, are just as much commanded to be filled with the Spirit and just as much commanded to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ as are husbands and wives and parents. And here's a wonderful thing, folks. Just maybe you haven't caught this, but I want you to notice Paul is writing to parents, he's writing to wives, he's writing to husbands, and he's writing to children. And they're all in the church together. They're all together, worshiping together. They're all receiving instruction. They're all part of the body of Christ. They're not segmented into their own little group. They're all part of the body of Christ. And he's addressing them as a whole family. I think that's worthwhile noting. I need to close, but I want to remind young children. I don't know what, you know, we have a host of young people here, a variety, different ages. Don't for a moment think that God cannot use you and God doesn't desire to use you. He does. He wants to use you. Samuel, his close relationship to the Lord started when he was very young. King Josiah, a young boy, instigated spiritual revival in Judah when he was still a teenager. David was a boy when the Lord first started using him. Queen Esther was a young woman when the Lord used her to save her people from annihilation. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Beloved, I want to say to you, children, God has a plan for you. God desires to use you. There's no such thing as I'm too young. You can know Christ at a very young age and be used of him mightily. The Apostle John writes this to the church. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we received a commandment from the Father. Children, walk in truth. Seek the Lord. Seek his face young. I got saved when I was 18 years old. But I had lived enough as a young man and ruined my life in so many ways and damaged myself in so many ways. And when someone asked me, do you have any regrets? Do you have any regrets? One person came to me and said, man, you know, wouldn't you have liked to have lived a little bit longer in the world before you came to Christ? I said, no. If I could turn the clock back, I would say, I desired to come to Christ sooner, when I was younger, so that I would not be ravaged by the world. And so I want to tell you, children, how does it start? Listen to the words, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. God has given you a promise. He has given you a promise of life. Christ crystallizes that promise when he says this. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life in abundance. You will have life in abundance when you lay hold of Jesus. And none of you are too young to lay hold of Jesus. Lay hold of him. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. May God be pleased to bless the preaching of his word.